Side Hustle Show 71, making money from one-page AdSense sites and productized consulting.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 71, making money from one-page AdSense sites and productized consulting. It's like a bonus episode, two side hustles in one this week with my guest, Kurt Elster. And I owe a thank you to Kai Davis from episode 59 for the intro. And here's what got me hooked. Kurt sent me this story. He says, I was working as an e-commerce product manager and helping my boss make a killing online. In the same month, he said there was no room for me to get a raise. He had me shopping for a Porsche 911 for him as part of my duties. One morning, and I'll never forget it, I got up to go to work, tied my shoes, and started sobbing. The thought of going to work filled me with despair. I knew then that I needed to work for myself. I went to work and put in my 2 weeks notice with no plan at all. That's a powerful moment right there. And during the call, you'll learn what Kurt did to build his business and how you can apply the same tactics to your side hustle adventures. But news and updates before we get into it, there's a new Inner Circle Mastermind class starting in October, hosted weekly by me. And I want you to be a part of it. If you want to get a kickstart on 2015 in the last quarter of this year, this is your chance to do it. So I urge you to head over to sidehustlenation.com/join to put in your application. And this is for those people who feel some sort of entrepreneurial/side hustle loneliness and want to find your people. This is about action, accountability, and investing in yourself and business growth. If you want to make some meaningful progress toward your financial freedom in the next 90 days, I urge you to learn more and apply now at sidehustlenation.com/join. We'll set up a quick intro chat, see if it's a good fit, and then we'll get it going. With that, let's get Kurt on the line. Hey, Kurt, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Howdy, Nick. Thank you for having me.
Kurt, everybody, is the co-founder of EtherCycle.com, a quote-unquote productized consulting company. They do web design, development, and online marketing strategy for small businesses. And Kurt actually has a portfolio of dozens and dozens of different sites. And the one that I was first introduced to was called The Magic Email. So if you want to fill us in, the Magic Email was named as one of the resources in Work Smarter, my latest book project. So fill us in. What is the Magic Email?
So the Magic Email is a one-line email that you can send to people who don't respond to you. And that was one of those things that drove me crazy is, you know, someone contacts me and I respond to them and then I follow up with them and I hear nothing. That dead silence, that dead air kills me. So the Magic Email is based on a longer concept that was buried in a great blog post by Blair Enns of Win Without Pitching. And I adapted that email into the Magic Email, and it is a one-liner that says, you know, and off the top of my head, I forget what the Magic Email, how it's worded exactly, because I copy and paste it so much. The one-liner is, since I've not heard from you in this, I have to assume your priorities have changed. And we started calling it the Magic Email because one day I just went through my email, found all the old emails, the threads that died, and I replied to them with this email. And I got in better than 50% response rate, which is like better than anything you could hope for in any kind of campaign. So we thought, gee, this email is magic. And I even had a landlord who wasn't responding to me about fixing my dryer. And I sent it to him too, and same thing, my dryer got fixed. So we started using this for everything. Like the joke became, in my mastermind group anyway, that there was nothing the Magic Email couldn't solve. And I thought it was too great to not share, especially since people I'd shared it with were sending me essentially testimonials where they're like, dude, this is amazing. So I put together that website with the Magic Email, and that pretty quickly got picked up on freelancing groups on Reddit. I saw it on Hacker News. It made its rounds and then found its way into your book.
Yeah, Kai Davis, you know, friend of the show, and who introduced me to Kurt. He was the one who mentioned it, and he's got his testimonial right up on the page. So you guys, if you want to check it out, it's themagicemail.com. And so you kind of got a penchant for building these like one page micro sites that tend to go viral or tend to solve a very specific problem.
They do. I would call it it's an addiction. I mean, the way it started was with calmingmanatee.com. And that one is probably the biggest winner viral wise. I mean, I was sitting on Christmas break watching MSNBC and they were talking about gifts they would give President Obama. And one of the people at the roundtable said, oh, I'd give him a link to calmingmanatee.com. And I couldn't believe it that one of my websites was being talked about as a gift for President Obama on MSNBC.
Wow. So where did the idea for this come from? So this is calmingmanatee.com. It's a bunch of just manatee memes. So I'm on one that says,
yeah, that's,
I'd hug you if I had arms. And he's just kind of like sitting there in the water.
That was our first side project. And the first one was a huge success, went viral. And we just put it out there on Twitter. We tweeted it once. We thought it was just a silly thing. It was for a friend of ours who confused the word manatee and matinee in an autocorrect, okay. A hilarious, autocorrect incident. So she said, they were talking about seeing a horror movie. I think it was a Paranormal Activity. And she said, well, I'd rather go see a nice calming manatee instead of matinee. And we thought, and we made this meme. My partner made it and sent it to her. And in the course of about an hour, we came up with 10 of them and put them on this website, just black background, loads them at random, and then tweeted it once to, like, at the time, like 100 followers.
Uh-huh.
And a day later, Pee Wee Herman tweeted it.
Wow.
And then from there, like, we literally did nothing to promote it. It just kept going. And then we got, Huffington Post interviewed us twice about it. It popped up in the Boston Globe within a month. It just went all over the place.
Am I going to offend you if I say, like, you know, there are people out here, like, actually working hard to build, like, you know, legitimately useful services and websites, and then something like this goes viral, and, you know, without any, you just never know. Like, you
there was no thought, no, nothing to it. Yeah, there was, you never know. And that's where we learned that nothing is too stupid to build for the internet. Like, if I had tried to think my way through Calming Manatee as a product, I would have shot it down within like 30 seconds as a silly thing and don't bother wasting your time. And you can't make a meme and you can't make a meme viral. But no, it was because, I mean, fundamentally, it's because Calming Manatee is a nice thing. It's just a fun, loving thing that's out there. And we didn't expect anything back from it. And that's why people loved it and it worked so well. But after that, it taught us that if you have an idea, we came up with rules for it. We call them labs projects. If we have an idea and we can build it in an hour or build it in an afternoon, then it's worth it to try it. Just try it, put it out there in the world and see what it does. Because ultimately it's going to be, you're going to learn something from building it. You're going to learn, yes, no, this idea didn't work at the very least. And really it's just the cost of the domain name plus maybe 3 or 4 hours of your time.
And so the site, so it says, it's got some stats on here, 11,000 tweets and 235,000 Facebook likes or Facebook shares. And with all that traffic, you're monetizing it in some way?
Yes, we tried several different ways to monetize it. And eventually we settled on AdSense. And initially, we were reticent to do advertising because it just seemed dirty. We were too good for advertising. So we asked for donations and we tried selling products through affiliate links and they didn't work well. And finally, we just went with AdSense. And you know what? Millions of people have seen it and not a single person has complained to me that there's ads on this website.
Right. Yeah. They're used to it.
By itself was an important lesson, is that no one is bothered by ads on the internet. But the ad revenue that it generates is more than enough to cover our fixed expenses. So just by having these websites out there and running AdSense, we're able to be more selective with our consulting business.
That's, I think everybody would love to have an income stream that's covering their fixed expenses. That's living the dream. And if it takes a manatee meme to or 10 to get you there, I'm all for it. what the other one is called Rainy Cafe, or the other one that's
Rainy
been,
Cafe.
That's yeah. been a hit. So this is a very simple site where it's got a little slider that where you can adjust the volume of the rain sound and a volume of the cafe mm-hmm. sound. So you told me it's a combination of Coffitivity or Coffitivity, which is the one that I was familiar with, and you said there was another one that did
Rainy Mood. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love these white noise generators. I had a whole bunch bookmarked. And I had one, I would load up, usually I'd load up Coffitivity in one tab and Rainy Mood in another tab. And Rainy Mood has this big video background, so it would quickly memory leak in Firefox, if people remember those great days of Firefox. And I thought, wait a second, why am I messing with this? Like, this, it literally just plays a looped MP3. I could make this. So I went on SoundCloud, I found, and I asked permission, but I found Creative Commons files.
Okay.
I made my own loops that I loved. And I was listening to that, and I thought, okay, I should really share this with people because it's great. There has to be other people who did this. So I put it together in a simple website, and we put it up, and I sent it to Lifehacker the same day. And the next day, the traffic from Lifehacker took the server down.
Yeah, that's nuts. I was going to ask if, and this one has, also 11,000 tweets, 17,000 Facebook shares. You know, is there any common theme? So you say you've got, a couple dozen of these different sites or more. Like, are there any takeaways between the ones that went viral, the ones that kind of got picked up or became hits, and the ones that flopped and didn't do anything? Like, is this a repeatable?
Oh, absolutely.
Is it a repeatable process?
So it's repeatable within reason. I could tell you when someone pitches me an idea, I could tell you the ones that won't work for sure, and I could come up with ideas for ones that'll probably work. So they have to solve a problem. And I know the first, people say, oh, Calming Manatee doesn't solve a problem. It absolutely does. I mean, if you look at the tweets, it's people share Calming Manatees back and forth with each other when someone is feeling depressed or down or sad about something. It solves the problem of being upset. Calming Manatee is your friend there to comfort you. So, okay. I mean, Rainy Cafe, it's that white noise generator. It's great. I use it while I work, so I knew that would work. But anything that's like a simple utility, something as simple as a calculator, a tool, or even that uplifting message, they all solve a problem. And they solve one single problem, and they solve it well in just a quick, easy fashion. So they have to be, number one, find pain and solve it. And number two, simple, useful, easy. And three, they have to be selfless. So any of the ones that have worked, we're asking for nothing in return. The thing works by itself, and the only attempt at monetization is AdSense running on the site. And AdSense is very much like a voluntary revenue system. If someone wants to run AdBlock, we don't stop them. That's fine. They can use the site. You know, it really is not going to cost me much of anything at all for them to load it without AdSense running. You know, and if they want to help the site out and the ad they click the ad. Well, clearly it brought them value, so everybody wins.
Right. Yeah. Now, I think it's a really fascinating way. It's a completely different take on niche sites or on AdSense sites than what we've talked about in the past, or at least what I've been familiar with in the past. Kind of the
right.
I'm going to do some long tail keyword research. I'm going to try and build out the best resource I can on some niche obscure topic, and try and build out a site around this. Spend all the time writing, the articles for it, trying to get it to rank in Google. It's like these don't depend on Google at all. Like, they just depend on
those. Absolutely, that model. It certainly works for other people. I have tried it and failed. I think True and Uplifting was one of my attempts at that. But those are a gamble. I mean, you have to first find a niche that's going to work, and then put in a ton of original content into it, which, I'm not the best writer. That would take me a lot of time. And then just wait and see if Google picks up on it and it works out. So I think that's the traditional model for an AdSense site. I think that's a pretty big gamble as far as your time goes.
It definitely can't be built in an afternoon.
Yeah, that's the magic of this network of AdSense sites, or labs projects as we call them.
Yeah.
Our rule is they have to be built in an afternoon. So if you could build it in an afternoon, your only cost then is 3 or 4 hours of your time and your domain name, the cost of your domain name.
Do they end up? Funneling business back to you? Does it work as a lead generation thing, or is it kind of completely separate to the EtherCycle business or the consulting business?
There's a couple that we have built that do that. Website. How much does a website? How much should a website cost.com? You know, there's 40 of them. I can't even remember the names of all of them. But there's one that's a website cost calculator. There's one that I personally use that's a checklist of performance tweaks for websites. So those will bring people to the website. The magic email has built my professional network. It's put me in touch with a lot of great, interesting freelancers that I've been able to help, and they've been able to help me. So that one's not direct, but it certainly had a benefit to my business.
Okay.
And then there's also, we take the best ones, we put them in our portfolio, and that establishes expertise. I mean, there's not a lot of other agencies running around claiming that they've built a network of successful viral sites. So I think that really helps us separate our consulting business as more than just a pair of hands.
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. It's just like, I'm fascinated by this. Like, to solve a single problem, a one-page site where everyone, Google included, would tell you, hey, look, this is never going to succeed. This is never going to rank. But like you said, if it solves that problem, if it's just a simple, one-time utility thing, and then, just tell me about your pitch email to Lifehacker. Like, hey, I built this. I think you might like it. How does that go?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally, so I found, especially when you're reaching out to journalists, the shortest email possible works. Like, those guys are getting inundated in essentially bullshit all day. So I try and be brief and upfront. I just say, hey, I built this thing today. This is what it does. If you've got like 45 seconds, and I really will just spell out the amount of time it will take to look at this, check this out. And if you have a little more time, tell me what you think. And I've gotten several things featured on big tech blogs and other sites, and I've never once gotten a response. But they do. I mean, they pick them up and they end up, Lifehacker's featured Rainy Cafe. Calming Manatee has certainly made its way around. But yeah, that's the, I mean,
they,
really
they don't bother model. To reply to you. They just like, all right.
They don't bother. It just goes out there. And then maybe later we get a request for interview. But yeah, that's part. So promoting it has to fit into that 4-hour block of time.
Yeah.
Because if you spend a day building the site, but then you spend a week promoting it, like, that blew the model.
Uh-huh.
So the promotion system we came up with is spend like an hour at most and just put this in front of people it's relevant to. So Calming Manatee, we got lucky. We didn't have to do that. But like Rainy Cafe, I just sent that to Lifehacker, and that was it. That was enough. The magic email, that got the most traction in a couple subreddits. So we just went to Reddit. I believe it was the r/freelancing and submitted that there. Found a couple questions where someone was literally asking, like, what's a good follow-up email? So I said, here you go. Here's the magic email. This is what works for me.
Okay.
And that was enough to get that going. But yeah, really, it's just, they have to be totally unselfish. So if I put, like, if I went on Reddit and was like, here, buy my magic email template for $50, like, that wouldn't work. That would get deleted and I would be banned.
Yeah.
But if it's, here's a thing that works for me and I'm sharing it with you, that's the magic of these things.
Yeah, what you said, the promotion system is simply putting it in front of people it might be relevant to, like, mm-hmm. That's so much broader than just, these little micro sites. Like, that's marketing, right? Like, that's like,
yeah,
any sort of sales system at all. And so I guess that's probably a good transition point into kind of the consulting business, the productized consulting business, which is, all the rage these days, rather than charging people an hourly rate, like, hey, here's my packages, here's what I'm going to deliver to you. And I think the example, or one of the sub businesses that's doing really well for that, is called WebsiteRescues.com.
That's correct.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that component of the business, or how that one works?
Yeah. So the upfront description is Website Rescues. For a flat fixed cost of $1,984, we will take your existing website and perform usually between 30 and 40 tweaks. So most of them will occur in CSS, be some HTML, some image stuff. And those 40 tweaks for $1,984 will amount to a significantly improved conversion rate. And we even offer a guarantee on it. But the magic of that productized consulting in that sense is if you're the client, all you want to do is reduce your risk. So in the traditional model, it's I go to a freelancer, a designer, let's say, and I say, okay, I know I want my website to be better. I don't really know how, but just make my website better, and what's that going to cost me? And they say, well, we'll go through a redesign process, and here's this and that. And they don't necessarily get it because, a lot of freelancers and people, consultants, tend to get too self-absorbed. They don't really know how to talk to clients anymore, like in a way it's simple and straightforward. So the client just wants, I just want my end result. I want to know what it's going to cost, and I want it to work. And that's the magic of – that's the appeal to them of a productized package. So it's just I know what it's going to cost me, and I know exactly what my deliverables are, and I know what the end result is. And that's the legs on which any good productized consulting or package stands on.
Yeah, this is a really interesting one because it's like – even as people who have approached me like, oh, can you fix my website? What does it need? Or, what's it going to take? And then I'm kind of stuck on that because it's like, well, it's a custom, every project is different. And we've got to come up with like a custom quote and all this stuff. It's like here, that kind of removes that from the equation. Like, look, this is our checklist. This is what we're going to go take care of for you. And this is the price, take it or leave it, rather than like this whole back and forth bidding thing.
Yeah. And then, the pushback I get from freelancers is they say, well, you've limited yourself. You're only going to ever get $2,000. Well, that's not the case. What we've given is a great stepping stone to a relationship with the client. So they spend that little less than $2,000 with us. And every single person we've done this for has come back for other stuff. They've said, you did a great job on that. What do you think of X, Y, and Z feature? And how much would that cost to add? And then down the road, those turn into redesigns.
Okay. Yeah, that's especially if you're guaranteeing an ROI. Like if you have a revenue generating business, that's if you can take somebody from $8,000 a month to $10,000 a month for a $2,000 one time investment, that's like, all right, you're my new best friend, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I will make that investment all day long.
The other interesting thing, so the problem I always had, so I'm a designer by trade. In this business, I do the design and the biz dev, and I let other people handle the code. They are much smarter than me at that. But the problem with design is it's subjective. So I'd build these designs, and I'd send them to people, and they'd be like, well, it doesn't pop. And that's the classic that makes me crazy. You've got to make it pop. Doing it, presenting it this way, the way Website Rescues present it is we know how to make you money. You want to make money. So we're going to make design changes that make you money. And doing it that way, no one has ever questioned the design. I don't have to make a design and send it to them for approval. I just say, this is what's going to work. And we do it. And then when it, sure enough, based on experience and best practice, that generates more money for them. That becomes their favorite design.
Yeah, the proof is in the results. I definitely like that.
Yeah.
What's been the most effective way to get clients, or how do you land your first clients? Like, if you stick your flag in the sand and say this is my business, this is what I do. What does it look like from day one?
So, it really started. We backed into it. We said we want to productize something. Everyone else is talking about it. Great smart people like Brennan Dunn and Nick D and Patio 11, Patrick McKenzie. I said, I want to do a productized consulting business too, but what do we do? And there was a local business, a wonderful bike shop, and a friend of mine who owns it, Amling Cycle. They said, Kurt, we know we're going into the season. We know we need a new website. It looks aged. We could tell. We want a new website. We don't want to spend the money on it right now. We just had to spend the money on inventory. Is there anything you could do? Maybe give it a facelift. And I said, you know what? Okay, let me just sit down. We'll do a time and materials, and let's see what we can do. So we essentially did a pair programming thing. I sat down with my developer, and we just back and forth changed live on this website, the CSS on this website. And we build the time and materials. And then we checked a week later, and sure enough, their conversions had wildly improved. Hmm. And I had two more people come to me with a similar situation, so I offered the same thing, and the same result happened. So I said, okay, here's a situation where our clients are winning. It's profitable for us. It's easy to do, not because it's easy for us, because it's in our wheelhouse, not necessarily that it's easy. And how, you know, how do we turn that into a package? Like, what are the key things? So essentially we took those, we knew it worked. So I looked at the proposals that were winning for that. And then we turned that into the landing page and the website. But the way I was selling it initially was just to existing clients who had a website but couldn't afford a redesign. And then through people who were coming in, qualifying them by budget, and then saying whether or not they should have a redesign or a website rescue. But the way I drive traffic to that site, I love retargeting. So I'm using Perfect Audience. I really love and recommend Perfect Audience over traditional advertising like AdWords, because you're only targeting to people who are already aware of your product and have been to your website. So you're going to get a much better conversion rate out of that.
Okay.
I absolutely adore retargeting for that reason. The other thing I'm doing is email marketing, drip campaigns. So I use GetDrip by Rob Whaling, getdrip.com. And I have a 5-day email drip campaign that promises you a result. It teaches you 5 lessons that are about web design best practices and conversion rate optimization. And anyone who joins Website Rescues can see that pop up, sign up for that email, and get those emails in their inbox for a week. And the advantage there is, I mean, we're helping the client for a cost of zero. They get those lessons, but we're really building rapport and trust with marketing automation. So I don't have to do anything at all. Once I've written those initial emails, they're just out there. Anyone signs up and they're getting personalized emails from me for a week. So by the time people call after they've seen those emails for a week, then they say, you know, I signed up for your email campaign. I really loved it. It was really helpful. The stuff you said was true. Or they reply to it with questions, mm-hmm. and it quickly builds a relationship. So before I ever get on a call with someone, I mean, it's like they already know me.
Yeah, no, that's a really smart way to do it. For the retargeting, really quick, I was kind of curious of your cost, maybe as a cost per acquisition or whatever you're tracking there, in terms of how expensive is that to run?
It is significantly cheaper than AdWords.
Okay.
So I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know the CPA, though I should. That makes me a bad marketer not knowing that.
That's okay. Well, it must be profitable. Otherwise,
it's like it ends up being between 1/10 and 1/20 what an AdWord to do the same thing with an AdWords campaign would cost.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Perfect audience. I'll have to check that one out. Mm-hmm. Cool stuff. We'll link to all of this stuff in the show notes, and you can check out websiterescues.com. In there, we'll put together a a custom PDF with all of the notes that Kurt has bestowed upon us. Thank you so much for coming out. We've got a couple questions to wrap things up, and that would be, you know, if you're still in that full-time job, trying to build something on the side, you know, how do you, in your limited time, how do you go about spending that, you know, hour a day, 2 hours a day on your side hustle?
All right. So a lot of people have the skills to build stuff, but that's great. But first you need to know what to build. So I absolutely would focus on pains people have. And that may be, you know, interviewing your friends, start somewhere, but come up with a list of just problems that people have, pains or problems that people have that you know and that you can solve. And then narrow those down by time commitment. So if you've got a full-time job, try and figure out the stuff that you can solve. Just rank it by which is easiest to solve. Because if there's a problem on there, and you know that you could spend a Saturday building a way to solve that, start there.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Focus on the pains, list them out, and then rank by how much time it's going to take to solve them. Any consideration about how big the potential market is, or not really worried about that at that point?
Well, that's the big advantage too. If you're only going to spend a day on it, you don't have to worry about any of those things. Okay. Like if I'm going to spend 6 months building something, absolutely, you should vet and figure out if it's going to, you know, if there's even a market there and if it's going to work, and come up with a plan. But if it's just a Saturday, just try it. It's worth it. Just, you'll have that experience. Just put it out there and see what it'll do.
Awesome. I like it. Kurt, thank you so much. We'll wrap up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
My single tip is solve simple problems.
That counts. Solve simple problems. I like it. Everybody, check him out at ethercycle.com. Looks like that's the home base, and you know, a dozen other websites that we mentioned as well. We'll put those in the show notes for you in that custom PDF. Kurt, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Nick.
This edition of the Side Hustle Show is brought to you by the Side Hustle Nation Inner Circle Mastermind Group, now accepting applications for a small group starting in October. Now, you just heard Kurt say to solve simple problems. And this group aims to solve the problems that side hustlers face, like not having anyone to talk to about your business, not having anyone to keep you accountable, and not knowing which task to prioritize next. You'll work directly with me and an intimate group of other entrepreneurs to make meaningful progress on your goals in the next 3 months. Learn more at sidehustlenation.com/join and whack the big orange apply now button to get in touch. We'll set up a quick intro call to find out what you're working on and if the group is going to be a good fit. Again, that's sidehustlenation.com/join. So what problem can you solve? Man, hearing the success of all of Kurt's one-page sites makes me think I've been overthinking a whole lot of this online business stuff. But curious to hear if you've ever tackled any similar projects or if you think that his process is repeatable. And on the productized consulting side, same question. What problem can you solve? Definitely some things to percolate on. Definitely got my gears turning a little bit. But until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in episode 72. Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.